ourselves. But there's a lot of tumult within Klal Yisrael, within the world at large. And Rabbi Willig asked me to speak for a few minutes, perhaps on some perspectives on how this affects Klal Yisrael, in particular our relationship with our Gedolim and our Talmidei Chacham. I want to start with the Lashon in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, in the last halacha in Hilchos Tmura, that a person should try to understand everything. When we learn Torah, you're encouraged to understand. We should want to understand. We should try to understand. Roy Liz Bonin Behen, referring to the mitzvot, the Rambam says, Roy Liz Bonin Behen, V'kol Mashat Yachol Liten Lo Tam, Ten Lo Tam. Anything you can understand about Torah, you should try to understand. It should try to make sense to you. Harei Amru Chacham HaRishonim Sha'amelech Shlomo Havin Rov HaTamim Sha'kol Chukei HaTorah. Even things that are hard to understand, like the Chukim, Shlomo Melech was able to understand the majority, the majority of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Even the things that are really hard to understand. That's the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tmura. There's another Rambam in Hilchos Me'ila, in Parachas Halacha Ches, similar Lashon. Roy Le'adam Lizbonin B'mishpatei HaTorah Kedot. Again, the Rambam says a person should try to understand everything you can about the Torah, to make sense of the Torah. It should be logical, it should be rational, it should fit into our understanding of reality. But what happens when we encounter something that's hard to understand? What happens when you encounter a chok? What happens when you encounter a psak of a rav, or an haga of a tzaddik that's hard to understand? What are you supposed to do at that point? V'davar shel yimsel otam, something you can't understand how it makes sense, the cause and effect don't add up to you. But be careful that sometimes we encounter things that are hard to understand, we don't understand, and immediately we start to treat it in a cheap way. It becomes kal in our eyes. And don't be so quick to dismiss it, says the Rambam, like something that's not worth your time. Like something of a mundane matter. Bo re'e kamech mira Torah b'me'ila. Listen to how strict the Torah was with regard to me'ila. You take a rock, you take some earth, you take a piece of wood, and you dedicate it to the base of Mikdash. And just by declaring it kodesh, it becomes transformed. It becomes holy. And if a person then goes ahead and misuses it, so it's me'ila. It's a terrible avera of me'ila. Says the Rambam, malachas kam v'kam. The mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and again, as much as we want to understand, we don't understand anything about them. They're infinitely deep. It's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of thinking. Shem Kiviyachol wrote himself down. On a nafshi ksivas yahavis, I wrote myself down and I gave it to you, in the form of mitzvot, of Torah. It says the Rambam, if you don't understand it, be very careful not to be so quick to dismiss it. And unfortunately, I think some of the things that we see in the world today are people who think that they're entitled to an opinion. And again, a lot of much bigger people have been speaking about this, but it's important for us as a program, as BMP, to mechazik this idea. Look back again at the Lashon of the Rambam, elsewhere, and we find elsewhere in Shas, we talk about the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a language that we sometimes find in Chazal and the Rishonim, is that mitzvot are gezeiras ha-melech. That the king decrees something. When the king decrees something, he doesn't have to explain it to anyone. Doesn't need to give a perish. If someone in the kingdom doesn't understand, he's not exempt from following the laws of the land simply because he doesn't understand the gzeiras ha-melech. And therefore, it's not by chance that the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, when it describes the nature of our Talmidei Chachamim, of our Tzadikim, the Gemara says, how do you know, minalan derabanan ikru malachim? How do we know that Talmidei Chachamim, that our rabbis are also called kings? And it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei Parakhas, bi malachim yimlochu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol says, that be even over me, Kiviyachol, malachim yimlochu. Hashem is submissive to the Talmidei Chachamim. Hashem says, I will humble myself, Kiviyachol, before the Talmidei Chachamim. A Talmidei Chachamim is like a melech. A person has to be very careful when he's dealing with a melech. Not everyone can so easily become a melech. But it's interesting, because you open up Megillah Esther to the very beginning. And what do we find? Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, ha-molech mehodu va'arkush sheva v'esrim v'meyam medina. Comes along Achashverosh, who's molech. He's molech mehodu va'arkush. Says the Heilige Rashi, she'malach me'atzmo v'lo haya mizera ha-melucha. But there's a possibility of a person who's not really a melech, who decides to be a melech. He decides, he declares himself a melech. Maybe it's because he has money, maybe he has other methods or modes of influence, of power. And he decides, he's malach mi'atwa, he's not really mizera ha-malucha, not really cut out to be a melech. And this person on their own decides that they want to become a melech. And again, I think that's something that we've seen in our time. That people who are not necessarily worthy of the title of melech, people who don't necessarily have that right to voice an opinion, again, in the way of a melech, a gzeiras ha-melech, an unquestionable gzeiras ha-melech, you find many people who think everyone's a melech nowadays. Everyone can say what they want, think what they want, write what they want. It's unfortunately an illness that we see very, very much taking place in our time. But the truth is, there's one thing even scarier than a melech who's malach me'atzma. There's one thing that's even more dangerous than a melech who comes to power and he's not really right to be a melech. And what is that? Gemara Maseches Megillah tells us a very frightening thing that happened in the times of Melech Achashverosh, who wasn't even really a melech. The Gemara says there's one thing that's scarier than that. Gemara explains the pasuk, Shir HaMalos Lulei Hashem Shehayalanu Yomer Na Yisrael Lulei Hashem Shehayalanu Bekum Aleinu Adam. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu being by our side when an Adam came to power, says the Gemara, Adam v'lo melech. There was someone even scarier than Achashverosh. And Rashi says, who is this Adam who's even more scarier than a melech, who's not even a melech to begin with? This Adam is Haman. Rashi says, Zeh Haman. An Adam, a person, a regular person, who's not even called a melech, but who is now wielding the authority and the power of a melech. And why is that so scary? Why do Chazal see that a Haman, as an Adam, is even more threatening than a melech who's not even really a melech in the form of an Achashverosh? So if you look at the Maariv Tzchias on this Gemara, he says an amazing thing. You have to understand how it works. When a melech makes a decision, whether it's a melech of Klal Yisrael, or even a melech of the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam, a melech to a degree is controlled by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our Tzchias writes, near Be'enai, the ilu hayu melech, hinei leiv malachim v'sarim b'yad Hashem. The hearts of a king, of kings, are in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which means that when a melech makes a decision, when a leader, a person who's, again, right to be called a melech, a discussion in halacha, is the President of the United States have the status of a melech? What does it mean to be halachically considered a melech? People who have the external trappings of malchus but don't necessarily wield the authority to take life at the drop of a hat. Right? Okay, it's a discussion in halacha what a melech is. But the bottom line is that a melech is controlled by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a melech makes a decision, as much as the melech is operating seemingly on his own, it's his decision being made with his advisors, his cabinet. At the end of the day, Lev Malachim Vesar B'yad Hashem. And therefore, the mate that's in their hand, says the Maariv Tzchias, who Zamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if the President of the United States of America, or a Melech of another country, if a Melech makes a decision, as much as we may not like that decision, and we sometimes have to work to position ourselves that it should come out a different way, to daven in a different way, to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Rachmanis on us in a different way. At the end of the day, if a melech makes the decision, says the Maariv Tzchias, Srichim lahatzdik hamishpat, dekoma da'avin rachmanu letavavin. At the end of the day, Kodesh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. At the end of the day, this melech is being manipulated, is being controlled by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not so, says the Maariv Tzchias, when an Adam comes to power. When an Adam, when a typical person, when a regular person all of a sudden declares himself a melech, worse than an Achashverosh, who's not a melech who decides to call himself a melech. But when a regular person of the street who doesn't have the training of what it means to be a melech, doesn't have the sensitivities of what it means to be a melech, is not a fulfillment of what the Rambam says in the third parak of Hilchos Malachim, that the lev of the Kaal is in the hands of the melech, that the melech understands the heart of the entire nation, that sensitivity and the care and the consideration and the thoughtfulness that goes into what the melech has to think about in making decisions. When an Adam decides so quickly, so callously, I'm a melech, I'm also a melech, I'm entitled to an opinion, says the Gemara, that's the most dangerous, most threatening thing of all. And it's haughty. The whole nature of a malik is rooted in this. You look at the life of Haman. We know that a malik is always connected to the Indian of Gaiva. As far as I'm saying, a malik is b'gematria Ram. V'ram levavcha, levavecha, v'shachachtas Hashem alkecha. A certain haughtiness, a certain ability to leap ahead of those who are entitled to opinion in front of you. As the Gemara says, that when Achashverosh is trying to figure out what to do with Vashti, a very major decision, Memuchan, the least of the advisors, who Chazal say is Haman, he jumps ahead, he has what to say, he thinks, I have the perfect plan, let's get rid of Vashti. That nature of a malik, to always have what to say, to think that I'm entitled to an opinion, that I'm going to vote on who's a gadol, who's not a gadol, and whose psak I like and whose psak I don't like. Right? That's a very, very dangerous thing. That's the world of a malik. That's a gaiva of a malik. That's the world of Adam v'lo melech of Haman. That's the world of a melech who's malach me'atzma. And unfortunately, again, we're seeing it in our times. People voting on gadolim. Someone asked me today, I was walking with someone today, I drove them in this morning. They were asking me what they should do. Their friend told them about a certain gadol. I don't hold him to be a gadol. As if this person has a right to vote. We're voting on who's a gadol and who's not a gadol. Klal Yisrael, the chalal say this person's a gadol, but this person says, no, I don't know, he's not a gadol. To me, he's not a gadol. Odom v'lo melech. I'm a melech also. I'm entitled to an opinion. I'm going to vote on who's considered a real gadol. Right? This is a very, very dangerous that people, Rahman al-Itzlan are being nichshalik. And that's why it's interesting. Mordechai was a complex person. It wasn't pashut to do what Mordechai did. Mordechai's involvement with Klal Yisrael, Mordechai's involvement with Achashverosh, the decisions that Mordechai was making were very difficult and challenging decisions, and not I won't agree with Mordechai. There were some very big people who didn't agree with Mordechai. Megillah says so. Megillah says in Daf Zayin, explaining the pasuk V'ratzoi L'Rov Echav, that Mordechai was found favorable by most of his brothers. Not everyone liked Mordechai. Not everyone thought he made the right decisions. Some people said he should have stayed in the base medrash instead of getting involved in politics. But it's interesting. Who are these Rov Echav? Who are the brothers of Mordechai? Every person on the street is a brother of Mordechai. The Torah is very clear. V'ratzoi L'Rov Echav, L'Rov Echav V'lo L'Chol Echav. Not everyone agreed with Mordechai. Not everyone understood what Mordechai was doing. Some of the members of the Sanhedrin disagreed with Mordechai. Some of the Echav, some of the brothers of Mordechai, means the Sanhedrin, disagreed with Mordechai. But not everyone on the street was entitled to an opinion. Not everyone could come along and say, I don't like what Mordechai is doing, I don't think it's the right decision. You're not entitled to such an opinion, you're not entitled to a vote. Ratzoy L'Rov Echav, the brothers of Mordechai are the Sanhedrin. A person has to know his place. A person has to know what he's entitled to weigh in on. And again, the nature of our society is that any person, you can go on a blog, you can go on your Twitter, and you can text out to the entire world, I don't agree with this person's psak, I don't agree with this ashkafa, I don't agree with this or that, to make fun of it, to be mezalzel. It's all the koach of a malik. It's all the koach of an adam who thinks he's a melech. Or a person who's not even a melech, but he's a person who bought the malucha, who bought the position for himself. And it's a very, very, very dangerous thing. No, tzaddikim make decisions, and sometimes you don't understand. That's okay. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes, in the Kutum Aran, in the second Chelek, in Torah Nun Beis, he says, sometimes tzaddikim do things that we don't understand. And he says, you know what? It's a very good thing. Because a tzaddik tries to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu does things that we don't understand. And it's okay if we're mature, if we have a healthy mindset, we're okay admitting that we don't understand everything. The tzaddik does something that I don't understand? Yeah, because the tzaddik is a bigger person than we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something that we don't understand because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bigger than us. We can't pretend that we're supposed to understand, that we do understand. Why would we assume that we should understand? And again, we start getting ourselves involved in all sorts of things that have nothing to do with us. And this really goes back to the Chet of Eitz Hadas. Let me just read one line from the Sefer, Avodas Pnim. He writes in the Yesodei Avodas HaPnimus, he says, I saw a Sefer B'Shem HaMagid Mikoshitz, Ki inyan Eitz Hadas Hainu Taiva Leida Hakol. The Chet of Eitz Hadas is when a person says, I want to know everything. I want to be involved with everything. I want to weigh in on every decision. I want to know why. Why? Tell me why. You want to know why? You don't understand a certain Gadol's psak? So maybe get in touch with the Gadol. Instead of questioning, on your blog, which the Gadolim are not so busy reading, the Gadol's not going to respond to your Twitter account. So maybe call, you don't understand a certain psak, so call up that Gadol. And very humbly come before the Gadol and say, you issued a major psak. Personally, I don't understand. I want to understand. And you come submissively before the Gadol. The same way, be malach and yimalach, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel himself before Talmidei Chachamim. You could be at least as big as HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come before the Gadol and to ask him, I want to understand. And if you still don't understand, so remember the Lashon of the Rambam. That just because you don't understand doesn't make it kal be'enav. It's a taiva, it's a yetzer hara of the Eitz Hadas. I want to know everything. I need to understand everything. It needs to make sense to me, and if it doesn't make sense to me, then it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense at all. Then it could be disregarded, it could be thrown aside. So like I said at the beginning, there are big things happening in the world today. There's a lot of things happening in the world today. Big things are happening in the world today. And I hope this can give us a little bit of perspective to just be a little more humble about the process. We should try to understand. The Rambam says in Hilchos Temura, try to understand. It's good to try to understand, but to do it in the right way. Had a Maisa, tell a Maisa, the Divrei Chaim of Sanz was once in Vienna. In Vienna, he was seeking medical care, came before a doctor in Vienna. And this doctor, this non-Jewish doctor, turned to him and said to him, tell me, Rabbi, what do you do? What do you do for a living? So he says to the doctor, I learn. And the doctor, this non-Jewish doctor, had a big smile on his face. And he says to the Divrei Chaim, he says, oh, so nice, it's so refreshing to hear. He says, us, the older generation, we know that a person has to keep learning over the course of his life to begin to understand things. He says, the younger generation, I see with the younger generation, they think they know everything. They've been learning for 5 minutes and they think they know everything. They think they have an opinion on this. Would a person dare walk into a emergency room where a delicate procedure is being performed and walk into someone performing brain surgery and say, I don't get it, it doesn't make sense to me. Well, I spent the last 15 years training before I even picked up a single instrument in this room, and I've watched hundreds of surgeries. And yeah, we walk into Beis Medrash, or we walk out into the street with our opinions of the world, and that's it. What, because I thought about it for 5 minutes? Thought about it for 10 minutes, maybe? Divrei Chaim said to this doctor, it's a chizik for me to hear that. And he was mechazik the doctor was mechazik him. That a person has to realize a lifetime of learning is what it takes. And that brings us to Purim, of course, the union of Ad Lo Yada, the willingness to admit Ad Lo Yada. To get a place where we can say, I don't know, and that's okay. I'm comfortable not knowing. I don't need to know everything. I don't need to control everything. So I'll leave you with a quote from the Rashba. The Rashba quotes one of the great philosophers, Aristotle. He writes in the Mishmeres Habayis, it's a quote from Aristotle. Ki mi she'eni odeya, she'eni odeya. A person who doesn't know that he doesn't know, eini odeya, really doesn't know. A person who can't admit that he sometimes doesn't know, watch out for such a person. A person who thinks he knows everything, it's the chet of Eitz Hadas. It's a malik. It's an adam v'lo melech, the most destructive force that mankind has ever known. So mir tzashem, we should all try to think about some of these ideas, to humbly negate ourselves before the Talmid Chacham, the true Talmid Chacham, whoever they may be, and it's not up to us to decide who they are, but to humbly submit ourselves before them. And mir tzashem, by doing that, will restore some of the Kavanah Torah that's been lost in recent days. I want to, of course, introduce our Mashpia, Rav Weinberger, to share with us some thoughts on her.
I'm worried about my speaking now that it shouldn't in any way cause anybody to forget what you just heard. It's so important. Sometimes when you have a few people speaking, it becomes confusing. It shouldn't be an ad lo yada. There was a shmuz that I gave some years ago. Some of the chaver from shul put it up online, I think over here also. And a couple of the chaver from here mentioned to me that it gave them chizik. So I thought that it would be kedai for a few minutes, a very abridged version of this. That was over an hour, but just for a few minutes. To share with you a thought of chizik of Purim, which is really to be mechazik what we were just learning. The koyach of Amalek, Ashakorcha b'derech. And everybody here knows that Ashakorcha can mean many things. A lashon of mikra, surprise. Ashakorcha Rashi brings down from Chazal as a lashon of krirus, of coldness. The world was on fire. The world was on fire because there was a metzias of Am Yisrael that now came into being. And as we read in the Shira, nations of the world were trembling. There had never been such a thing as Am Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael. And Amalek came at that point, Baderech. And Amalek, Rashi brings the Moshel, we don't have time to go on to into all the Prodom. But Ashakorcha means that Amalek was able to look at that new reality, a world with Am Yisrael, a world with that truth of one God. And Amalek was able to look at that and to laugh. And that laughter of Amalek, the late sonnes, the laughter of Amalek had the effect and has the effect. And Rav Weinberg was just speaking about that. The Adam, the Melech, the imposter, the Leitz, has the effect to take a situation which is on fire, a truth which is obvious, which is clear, and suddenly to cool it down. Ashikorcha is a lashon of kerirus, of coldness. The Nitzachon, the victory of Purim, is unique. Because only by Purim do we find that the Nitzachon took place in the way of V'nahafaychu asheyishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'seineya. There was a reversal that took place. A V'nahafaychu. The V'nahafaychu, of course, goes back to the beginning of the conflict between us and them. U'lo'oim mil'oim yemaz. With Yaakov and Esav, while they were still in the womb. And that struggle between Yaakov and Esav is a struggle of La'oim La'oim Yematz, which Chazal tell us Rashi brings down, is a way of Kishizek Kom Zenoifel. That means that if you see that the world of Rome, of Esav, of Amalek, is successful and strong, it's only on the Cheshbon of the Churban of Yerushalayim Chalil. It's only if Yerushalayim is utterly destroyed. And in order for Yerushalayim to be truly built, it's only built on the Churban of Tzur. It can only be built through the destruction of Amalek, of Esav. U'l'oim mil'oim ye'ematz. That means that the Nitzachon, the victory of Purim, that was a victory of Anahafaychu, is that something that Amalek had. There's a power that Amalek has. There Rav Moshe Tzvi was talking about. There's a power that Amalek has. And as a result of Purim, the V'nahafaychu, the L'oim L'oim Yematz, the Churban of Amalek, the Churban of Amalek brought about the V'nahafaychu, that somehow Am Yisrael, and each and every one of us, is able to build within ourselves a certain energy that Amalek uses to destroy us. U'la'om u'la'om ye'ematz. That there's a certain type of energy that Amalek has, a certain vibrancy, an energy, a koach, that Amalek has and uses in the world of Tumah, that if we now, in the post-Purim world, access this energy of Amalek, because the Nitzach and the victory was V'nahafaychu, we have the ability to be mahapich that koach of Amalek in order to build up the Yerushalayim inside of us. Ul'om mil'om ye'ematz. To give ometz and koach to ourselves, to Am Yisrael. Now the Teva, we need to understand what is this koach and how we could use it. The Teva of a person is to be very, very much influenced by his surroundings. The Rambam and all the Rishonim tell us, again, we don't have time for my Mekhamis now, that a person is mushpa, that a person is unbelievably influenced by everything around him. And the Svara of the world is kach, kulam choshvim, kach kulam oimrim. This is what everybody says, this is what everybody thinks. Those who are parents here, or Baruch Hashem already grandparents, know that the common theme among children is, but everybody says this. But all my friends do this. Kiila, what's right and what's wrong is a matter of voting. It's a matter of public opinion. And the decisions are made in life based upon what's popular, what's out there, what's known, what's being said, what the rate is. What does the Olam zok? The Olam says. When the Bari Olam came to speak to us at Har Sinai, he said to us, Anoich Hashem Elokech. And he said, Lo yilachach Elohim acherim al panai. And when he said those words, Lo yilachach Elohim acherim al panai, you can't have other gods. So what do you mean we can't have any other gods? Al panai, there's some competition between the creator of the universe and other gods? Elohim acherim? What does that mean, other gods? I remember as a child wondering, what is this business about other gods? Especially if we don't live in a world of idolatry, at least in that old ancient form. So Rashi says, Lo yilach Elohim acherim, da acherim asom Elohim. Da acherim asom Elohim means that there's a nonsense in the world, there's an emptiness and a nonsense in the world, that people voted, people decided how and when, people decided that this narishkeit, this nonsense, is what? Is God. Is Elohus. Is something divine, is something powerful, all-knowing. That means that you and I live in a world, and mankind has always lived in a world since the Eitz Hadas, where there is a great truth of Anochi Hashem Elokech, and we're surrounded by others who take what they believe to be the truth, what they have established in their minds, in their society, in their culture, as the truth. It could be the biggest nonsense, the biggest narishkeit that any intelligent child would know is narishkeit. But there's a koach in the world of acherim asom Elohim. Others have made this narishkeit, this nonsense, this foolishness, they've made it into a god. They've created a deity. They've created some sort of an all-knowing, all-powerful opinion, public opinion. There's an unbelievable vart from the Kotzker. They say from different tzaddikim, but you can hear in this the Kotzker. The Kotzker said, we know it says in Torah that by Har Sinai, Beichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar. The Bnei Yisrael encamped Keneged Ahar, facing the mountain. So the Kotzker said that everybody's so impressed that all of Bnei Yisrael faced the mountain. That we faced HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ish echad b'lev echad, we turned our lives around and we faced Har Sinai to be Jews. But the Kotzker said, that's taka a choshev thing, that's pretty good. But the Kotzker said that what I'm more impressed with than that is that when it says Vayichan Shem Yisrael Kineged Ahar, I'm more impressed that the Jewish people were able to turn their backs on the rest of the world. Panu Oyref L'chol Ha'olam Kula. What's amazing, the Kotzker said that Jews are excited. Listen, there are a lot of special effects at Har Sinai, you know? And the thunder and the lightning and God's talking, it's exciting. But to be able to turn your back to the thunder and lightning of the world, to the thrill and the excitement of what's out there, of those Elohim Acheim that others have created, of the so-called truths that Amoratzim, many Amoratzim will call themselves rabbis, the truths that Amoratzim have created, the truths that society and culture has created, the Kotzker said that for a Jew to be able to shun that world, those lies, to turn his back on the Elohim Acherim, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, when the whole world is saying, this is right, this is the truth, this is the real thing, to be able to turn your back, to be able to be different, where you have your part of a whole chevra you grew up with, you know, the most heroic people you see about Tshuva? His family, his friends, everything he was raised with, says, this is God. This is God. God is financial success. which a famous Jew, Karl Marx, spoke about the God of the Jews as Mammon, his money. Financial success is God. A relationship with another person is the ultimate relationship in life. There are gods that the world has created. And a Baal Teshuva is able to turn his back and turn a cold shoulder to all that he was fed, all the foreign phony gods that he was fed over the course of 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Somebody here told me the other day, I was just talking to somebody this morning at Sadi, that told me that he has a grandmother that became a Baal Teshuva. That means that there's a woman who is living a life, who lived her entire life a certain way, and she was able to face Har Sinai, and the Koska said, it's gewaldig, but more than that, she was able to turn a cold shoulder to all the other gods, all the lies, all the Darishkeit that she had heard in her life, and to say, Zekei Liva and Veyu, from where does a Jew have such strength? So I was thinking, perhaps the makar of where we took such a koach from is from Amalek. Because the koach of Amalek is, as I said before, that Amalek saw a new metzias, and the world was on fire, and the whole world believed, the whole world saw there's something here, there's a God, there's an Am Yisrael, there's a Tachlis. And Amalek was able to stare in the face of what Rashi Chazal called an ambatir esachas, a bubbling bath, a fire of truth, some great new ideal, a God that exists, and Amalek was able to say, ah, don't get all worked up about it. It's Narishkeit. The Jews, Am Yisrael's Narishkeit. God, the whole business about the Rebbeinu Shlomo was all Narishkeit. I saw once in a sefer that there was an Adam Godel. And he saw that the Bachrim were all excited about something. Something was going on in Minsk or Pinsk, wherever. And there was some big deal and everybody was getting all worked up. You think now it's only now the guys get worked up? Because now there's some new technology that came out. So this tzaddik saw that the Bachrim were all worked up over something new. There was some ambatir asacha, some big thing was going on. And the way that tzaddik expressed it was, nu, the way he says in the sefer, he says, nu, yesh olam mole b'chutz. There's a whole world outside. There's a whole world outside of Klai Yisrael. The whole world is not the Mismedrash. There's a whole world outside. Izvos. Now you don't have to be a Yiddishist to know what it means, izvos. Even a Sephardi can translate. Izvos means, so what? Izvos. There's a whole world outside. Izvos. This is the victory of an Ahafechu. Asher Yishlatu Ayehudim Heim of the Seneha means that after during that time of all that was happening in Shushan Habira, with a phony king sitting on his phony throne, making a lavish party, and the whole world was mamish going crazy from this party of Achashverosh. Just this past Shabbos, we had some kids from a high school that were over in the shul. And by Baruch Hashem in the shul Friday night, it was very late. And one of these kids, he's a senior in a high school today, some high school in our way, he screamed out by davening, hey, it's a party! He screamed out by the Chodoidi. I thought it was cute. Because everybody's looking for a party, right? And this kid said, hey, it's a party, l'chadoidi, this is a party. So people start to shushki, you know, say, no, you're quiet, quiet. I thought it was very nice. Hey, it's a party, l'chadoidi is a party. So in those days, back then in Shushan Habira, hey, it's a party, it was a big party. And people were taken by it, and Jews were coming in their tuxedos, you understand? And they were coming all farputz, all dressed up. It's a party. Jews like the party. We come from Gan Eden, the biggest party there ever was. Jews like to go to a party. And there was a big mitzvah of Achashverosh and there's a humming in the world, and there's a Shushan, and there's a big party that's going on. And Mordechai, there was one Jew in Shushan. Lo yichru v'lo yishtachve. There's only one who doesn't bow down to it. There's only one tzaddik who's able to look at all the noise, the whole fire of Shushan, to say, nu izvos, narishkeit, Elohim acherim. Acherim asom Elohim. Others are making this nobody into a god. Others are making Haman into a god. He makes himself into a god. The kula leinu adam. A nobody, a nothing, a garnish mit garnish. In the world of the Beis Medrash, they say that Reb Baruch Ber, the great Rashid of Kamenitz, Reb Baruch Ber, that Reb Baruch Ber said that he heard many times from his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Rizka, Zecher Tzadik Lekoshe Livracha, that Reb Chaim was always telling us, was always telling the guys, tracht anders. What does it mean, tracht anders? Think differently. It's not an answer for a mature person to say, everybody says this, everybody does this. Not only do I think that that person's not an ungodl, but the only other big and idiot is me, across from me, also holds he's not a godl. So now we have a majority of Klai Yisrael, two idiots to say he's not a godl. That's already called a majority opinion. Reb Chaim used to say in learning, tracht anderish. Just because you saw this in a sefer, just because there's a svara that your chavrusa has, you got to think it over yourself. Tracht anderish. Learn to think. And anderish means that your Yiddishkeit depends on you. A Jew has the ability that we took from the Nahafai Chuv of Purim, that we took the Koch of Amalek. That a Moloch has the ability to look at a whole world, a majority opinion, and to say, ah, it's nothing. To make tzchayk, a gelacht, or a joke, to make leitzonis of what? They made leitzonis of the truth. But that ability to be able to turn your back on the world, to be different, not to care about public opinion, not to care what anybody else says, and to say, thus is thus. The truth is this. Reb Tzadik and Tzidkis at Tzadik Kuf Mantes. Ki asogis ha'odim v'chachmosu etzem shayrish nishmasa. The way that a Jew understands the Rebbeinu Shem, understands Torah. It's the shayrish of his, it comes from the root of his soul. V'chiyuso in his life for it. V'kol echad yesh lo shayrish b'fnei atzmai. Every Jew has a different shayrish. All Jews. And it's the same Torah. But every Jew is rooted in a different part, a different place. That even the people don't even look the same. Because the ponim is a sign of the pnim. The face means there's something different inside. And then the Koyin says, therefore Chazal say on the Pasuk in Kehelas, each and every one of us at 120, we're going to go to the base island, to the cemetery. But the Pasuk in Kehelas says, Hoylech ha'odim lebeis olamai. Chazal say, what does it mean, olamo? The beis olam means the cemetery. Lebeis olamo, shekol echad yesh lo olam b'fnei atzma. Every single one of us, yesh lo olam b'fnei atzma, is a world within himself, and he has his own world. When we were living through the Yontif of Purim, when we were in Shushan, our ancestors were there. Everything looked like it was going in one direction. Everything looked like we were headed towards utter destruction. Everything, the world, the Metzias, public opinion, all the editorials in the Shushan Times, or every single editorial in the Shushan Times said, that's it, it's done, they're finished. The whole story of the Jewish people is over. The final solution is finally taking place. That's what the headlines of every newspaper in the world said at that time. Mordechai's lo yichru v'lo yishtachve, you know what that means? Tranderish. We're Jews, we have a God. Ve'ichal Shem Yisrael. We're able to turn our backs on the times. We're able to turn our backs on world opinion. And if not for that, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't exist for a minute. Therefore, the whole Yontiv of Purim is of an ahaf eichu against that svara of what's the veldzah, what the world says, what people think, what's public opinion. A Jew is not a shubit to any of that. We're free. And therefore we were able to remain, as I mentioned last night, we were able to remain subjects in the kingdom of Ahasuerush after Purim. But after Purim we had understood that we're not a shubit to that phony king. He's not our king. Alright, right now we're stuck over here. So we have to pay taxes. And when he passes by we say, Shalom Aleichem, your royal highness. But when he goes by, he goes, and then in your basement you have a dartboard with Achashverosh in the basement. That's what it means to be a Yid. To be Yid means to turn your back on the world. It doesn't mean to be cynical. It means to live with the truth and to die if necessary for that truth and to tracht anderish in everything in our lives to find our way to connect each one, his own shayrus, connected to the Bari Olam, and not to be concerned with what he says and what she says and what they say and public opinion and so on and so forth. And the place in life where this needs to be applied oftentimes more than anywhere else is when you grow up and others have formed an opinion of who you are. This worries me. I see a lot of this, especially a young person who doesn't have a lifetime of building confidence in who he is and what he wants in life. And you lose confidence in yourself. Even though you know what the truth is and you want to be an Eved Hashem, but there are always going to be the Leitzanim, there's always going to be the Chevra, the Leitzanim. Sometimes it could be even in your own home, in your own family, Hashem Yirachem, that say, no, that's not who you are, that's not really it. And the great truth that you're seeking is, it's Narishka. And they try to destroy Beis Olamo, your world. Not in a mean way, not God forbid to hurt. Like Tzonis doesn't always have to come out in a mean, nasty way. So the Maisek, because it's a Maggid, again, the Maisek can be told in a half hour, I'm going to tell him in a minute. The Maisek, because it's a Maggid that many of you know, there was a Yid that lived in Kuznets, there was a Schlepper. It was like it could be he was talking to somebody, we'll see at the end, he is a somebody. But from the time that he was in the world, everybody told him that he's a nobody. There are chevers sitting here in this room that have heard that. It could be from a Rebbe, God forbid, when you were younger. It could be from a parent, Chalila. It could be from a friend. That at some point, somewhere, somehow, somebody said to you, you're a nobody. And it doesn't mean that they didn't say that word, nobody. There are many ways that a Malik expresses himself. But the bottom line is that you came out from being a kid feeling, I can't. And you've lost the ability to track anders, to think out of the box that you've been put into. You were put into a box by people who don't really know you. And you're having a hard time getting out of the box because you're stuck in a place that other people are. Others have made that box, not you. But you're stuck in it. So there was a Yid in Kuznets that was put into a box. He was put into a box that he's a shoyt, he's a nobody, he's a nothing. And you know what? He taka lived like a shayt, like an obid, like an obid. And he couldn't make a living, and he couldn't do anything. He was a lo yitzlach. A lo yitzlach is somebody that's unsuccessful, but there's no word in English for a lo yitzlach. Mem is a lo yitzlach. A shlamazel, the whole thing. He used to beg a little bit and take a few kopecks, a few pennies here and there. And his wife didn't have, his children didn't have, he was never much live. So he comes on Purim to Kuzhin Samagim. By the Maggid, there are hundreds of people that you can imagine. And he walks into the Kushner's Maggid, and the Kushner's Maggid looks at him, he says, whatever the guy's name is, Yankel, no Yankel. And Yankel comes in, you know, even the way he walked in with his head down, and schlepping, and standing in the back, and he's afraid to see the Rebbe, he doesn't want the Rebbe. And everybody else brought Shalachmanis to the Rebbe, they come for him, they bring to the Shalachmanis. So the Rebbe says, Yankel, where's your Shalachmanis, Yankel? You come to the Rebbe without Shalachmanis? So Yankel says, know, Yanko doesn't have money, Yanko doesn't have money, so I don't have my own family. And he doesn't understand because the Rebbe knows that. So how can he talk like that to the Rebbe? He's busy with money. He needs my tongue to get it. He's not giving out, he's getting. So he says, Chabach Nish, I don't have. So the Rebbe says, what's that? Hide this Purim. It's Purim today. A Purim, you don't come, Shalach Manas. You go make sure you get Shalach Manas. And make sure you tell everybody, hide this Purim. Today is Purim. So Yaakov goes out of there, like, you never heard anybody talking like that. The Rebbe is saying, it's Purim today, you could do it, go out. So what happens? Yaakov walks into the store where they're selling some mezainis or something, a bakery. And Yaakov says, a frelich in Purim, a frelich in Purim, you didn't hide this Purim. So everybody looks at him, oh, Yaakov? They never heard him talk that loud. They never saw him stand up. Hide this Purim. I need some mezainis. I have to bring to the Rebbe. So the guy says, Yaakov, you don't have any money, you know, Yaakov. So he says, put it on my tzedek, you know, my credit. So the guy takes out a paper, you know, from here till Shushan. You know, put it on your credit. It's Purim. Hank is Purim. So he was so taken, the baker, like by his simcha and by his confidence, you know. So he says, okay, well, you should take what you want. And he writes it down. Ferach and Purim. I'm not recommending anybody tries this. So then he goes out and he says, what if he writes? Is it right? I'm getting mezainis for the Rebbe. What about for my own family? He goes to the butcher, comes in. Ah, frelich and Purim, I need this Purim. The same thing. I need a fleisch, I need chicken, I need this. Well, you know what? You don't have any money. He says, write it on my table. He says, write it down. Hank this Purim. What are you worried about? Tomorrow's another parsha. Marcha kedas ayam. It says in the Megillah, right? Tomorrow will be like today. You have shushan Purim. So he says, write it down. And he goes, he says, I shouldn't buy any clothing. My children walk around in rags. It's Purim, is that nice? Goes to the clothing guy. Hike, Purim, the whole thing. Purim, Purim, Frelich and Purim. Everybody says, Yaakov, what's with you? Frelich and Purim. He went on a crazy shopping spree. And he's walking around with boxes and food and bags. He comes into the kids can't believe it. And he walks in, they never saw their father. And such as the father walks into the house. He says, Kindlech, no, what are you sitting there? Purim! And he gives toys and he has food and he gives the wife, says, Yaakov, where'd you hide your pay? What are you worried about paying? What's paying this Purim? Comes back to Kozhin Samagin. He walks into Kozhin Samagin. They're still there. They're a little bit funny by this time, you understand? He walks into Kozhin Samagin. He opens the doors, but now Yaakov walks in like in an old Western. Throws the doors open. Walks in. Frelich and Purim Yidden! And everybody says, Yaakov? And he says, he brings a basket of Shalach Manas, walks right up. He would never go within 20 amas, you understand, of the Magid. Goes right up to the Rebbe, puts, he says, Afrelech and Purim, Rebbe, Afrelech and Purim. And the Kushas of Magid smiles and says, Yank, hide this Purim, tomorrow's Purim, Shushan Purim, Afrelech and Purim, Afrelech and Purim. What's the end of the story? This Yankel, so he owed a lot of money. So everybody came after him. They're nice, Jews are nice, you know, they came after him. And Yankel, but it was a different Yankel. Yankel, this Yankel tracked down Dimish. He thinks different. It's a different Yankel. This is the original Yankel, the real Yankel. The Yankel that his parents didn't raise. The Yankel that the friends made fun of. This is the real Yankel. Yankel goes over to the guy in the bank. Listen to this. He goes over to the banker, and he says to the banker, I'm Shushan Purim. He says, Afrelech and Purim. You owe, you know, this is the, he says, I need to have a loan. He says, you want a loan? How much do you want? He says, I want 10,000 rubles. What are you out of your mind? You owe people 50,000 rubles. 10,000 rubles is Purim. He says this to the banker. He says, it's Purim. He says, what Purim? He says, there's an expression by Jews, not every day is Purim, right? So he says, it's Purim. And the banker, like, couldn't get over the guy. And he said, how are you going to pay? He says, I'm going to pay back. Look, I'm going to pay back. You see, it's going to be good. I'm going to pay you back with the interest with everything. And the end of the story is that this year took the money and he went and he spoke to people and he invested. And he became a Gezir Otzer. And every year on Purim, he would bring the biggest Shalach Manas to Kozhin Samagid and say, Rebbe, Afrelech and Purim, Afrelech and Purim. That's what it means, Tracht Andivish. Beis Olamai. Think differently. Get out of the gods that other people made. Get out of the person that other people made you into. V'nahafaychu, ashi yishlatu ayyudim heima v'sineim, loy lechroya, loy lechtachvayz, only to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. No, a fair and permis at this point.